All right. Our friend Renee Dobos is back. She's president and CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. You've heard about them here on the program. They are creating systematic change and sustainable solutions for individuals and families that strengthen our communities. They measurably transform lives and communities by providing a sustainable solution to end the Connecticut housing crisis. If you've listened to this show in the past 5 years, three times, you've heard about the housing crisis two or three times. We've got a situation here in Connecticut, and Connecticut Housing Partners are working overtime to fix it. We will chat with Renee about that and some exciting news that she brings us back from our nation's capital right after we remind you. You've heard them on For the People, and we're thrilled to have our community partners at the Connecticut Age Well Collaborative talking and taking it to the street. The collaborative just announced its next big endeavor, Age Well Fest 2024. It's coming to the Meriden Green on September 12th. Age Well Fest is a first of its kind in-person experiential learning opportunity for every Connecticut community for the Vibe Think First Night, but in the daytime, and that meets conference, but without slide decks. Who should attend? Well, municipal leaders, community stakeholders, policymakers. Renee, maybe you want to go. Anyone and everyone, anyone and everyone interested in fostering more aging, dementia, and disability inclusive communities should be there. So save the date and get familiar with the schedule of activities as they develop by visiting ctagewellcollaborative.org, AgeWellFest. I'm pleased to be part of that network. And Renee, maybe you and your folks can develop some new contacts and friendships there. But in the meantime, you've been making more friends in Washington, D.C. let's go to the big news. You're getting a piece of almost $76 million in grant funding from NeighborWorks. Let's first talk about that.
Sure. NeighborWorks, we're a chartered member of NeighborWorks, and there's only 249 of us throughout the United States and Puerto Rico. And so this is a very prestigious relationship to have. It's almost like the good housekeeping seal of approval for affordable housing developers such as ourselves. And so in March, I went with a contingent of other NeighborWorks folks where we went to the Hill and lobbied for NeighborWorks because NeighborWorks receives their funding through Congress. So we go down there to talk about the impact that we're having, how important NeighborWorks is to the nation, and that with all of us combined, we're the largest and most impactful affordable housing developers in the nation. So $2 million of that appropriations will be coming to the state of Connecticut. So what does that mean? What that means is that we can take that $2 million, our seven organizations, and we can parlay that money. And we're able to leverage that investment. And last year, we turned that $2 million into a $97 million investment in the state of Connecticut by creating new homes, by repairing homes, preserving homes, creating more rental homes, counseling services, and plus we created over 500 jobs with this investment.
Fantastic.
So it's really important.
Let me just stop you there. It's early Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. People are listening to the radio and making breakfast or getting ready for church or whatever. You just said a mouthful there that we need to spend just a couple minutes on. Because I think a lot of people, when they think about housing and creating housing opportunities in Connecticut and in your neck of the woods, they're thinking about knocking down an entire city block and putting 200-300 apartments up, but the fact that you guys are rehabbing existing housing stock and helping expand existing opportunities, I think it is lost on a lot of people when you talk about creating more and better housing for our residents.
Well, it's really true. And, because we also don't want neighborhoods to go into disrepair either. But more importantly, in the state of Connecticut, we're really facing a crisis where we have a shortage of 92,500 units. And then when I'm talking about affordable, I'm really talking about the workforce, because affordable is not the low-income people that are being impacted. It's about our entire workforce, our police, our firefighters, our nurses, our teachers, bus drivers, grocery workers. These are all the people that are in our communities serving us, but yet they can't live in the community where they're serving us because it's unaffordable to them. So it's really impacting our workforce. And so you say, okay, well, so what? So they can't live in that community. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that your businesses in your community are unable to grow because they can't attract the workforce that they need. So it's a trickle-down effect of how it impacts our entire economy. Yeah. Our governor is trying to recruit new business into the state all of the time. The first question he's being asked is, where are the workers going to live? He's getting feedback from businesses saying, I'm ready to grow, I'm ready to expand, but I can't get the workforce that I need to help me grow because there's no place for them to live. So this is really an economic crisis and could really impact the health of our state, because if you're a worker and you can't afford to live where you're working, you're going to find a place to live where you can afford, and that may not be the state of Connecticut. So we can end up losing some of our population because of that.
Right. And I had somebody point out to me the other day, taking that concept even one step further. So say somebody who works in Middletown has to live, out toward, Eastern Connecticut, out in the Marlboro area or East Hampton or what have you, or they work in Bridgeport, but they have to live up in someplace like Thomaston or Torrington because that's where they can afford to live. Every time that individual makes that ride to their workplace 20, 30, 40 miles away, they're passing other job opportunities that may be more attractive to them, maybe not because it pays more, but just because it gives them this precious gift of time that they're otherwise spending in their commute. So every time we're reeling in a workforce member from beyond our own community, every day that employer is at risk of losing that worker because they may, in all likelihood, want to reduce their travel time. And there's plenty of jobs that at equal parity in compensation. So it really is. You're getting this multiple hit of risk here when you don't have enough housing in your own community to support your own people and your own business.
That is absolutely true. And if you even care about the climate, just think of the carbon emissions that are going on with those long commutes back and forth, the wear and tear on our roads. So there's so many different layers to this that are being impacted. Sure. And you're absolutely right. You know, quality of life is so important to everybody.
Yeah, work-life balance does not factor in a 2 to 3 hour commute every day when there's an alternative, even maybe for a little bit less pay.
Mm-hmm. So, that's right.
We kind of veered off here just a little bit. So, but the other important thing that you mentioned in your introduction was that we're not just creating workforce housing, we're creating jobs for the workforce by developing these or rehabbing this housing.
That is correct. Yes. Because you know we're very reliant on the construction industry, engineers, architects, environmental studies that have to take place. So there's many different people that we have to interface with to be able to rehab or build new construction. You know, we're interfacing with planning and zoning departments in different communities, and so all of these generate jobs and also keep a community vibrant. We're investing in a community. That's how we view our work, that we're investing in a community. We want to work closely with the leadership of the community, and we really try to educate the community to make them understand how important this housing is. And we're also starting to talk to big business, because we can't just rely on the state of Connecticut to solve this problem. right now our shortage of 92,500 units. The pipeline that the state has is 6,500 units in the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. That's just scratching at it. That's just scratching at the surface of the problem. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to talk to the big business because we need to make them understand they need to help solve this problem as well. They need to be thinking about themselves as a benefactor and not just a boss, right? They need to care where their workforce is. And they need to care about the quality of life that they're providing for their workforce. So in the state of Connecticut, for one person to be considered middle class, they have to earn $80,000 a year. So I ask all big business, how many of your employees are earning less than $80,000 a year? So those are the people that you need to think about. Our medium income in the state of Connecticut is only $69,000 a year. So you could see that income is not keeping pace with the cost to rent, inflation, and also the opportunity for young people to buy their first home is becoming out of reach.
Yeah, we're in deficit mode every day.
Every day. And so that puts more pressure on the product that I'm delivering, where I'm delivering workforce housing. So it's putting more pressure and the demand is growing and growing and I can barely build fast enough myself. So that's why we need big business to get engaged in this, because if they do, when they're complaining about I'm ready to expand and where is my workforce going to live, they need to participate in solving that problem.
Yeah. So NeighborWorks America celebrated its 45th anniversary this year. When did you, as a housing advocate and the president and CEO of the Connecticut Housing Partnership here, when did you become familiar with NeighborWorks and how are you going to, continue moving forward with your nonprofit partners around the state in getting maximum traction for this chunk of the $76 million that you were able to achieve?
Sure. We have actually been members of NeighborWorks since 1994. Next year, we will be celebrating our 35-year anniversary, so we've been doing this work for a very long time. I am in constant contact with my NeighborWork partners here in the state of Connecticut. We help each other. We talk to each other. We strategize together. We also have a voice with the Department of Housing and the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority. So we're constantly advocating. So if we're not only just advocating on the Hill in Washington, D.C., but we're talking to our local politicians at the state as well to make sure that they understand what our needs are. And so it's really important to keep having these conversations and making everybody understand the crisis that we're in and what we need. And the state, even though they've made tremendous investment financially into workforce housing, they can't do it all, right? They have limited resources just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So we need to figure out a new way and a new method to make this happen.
Well, one of the other things I really like catching up with you about is, looking at the work you've done and the work you're planning to do. Here we are nearing the midpoint in 2024. How is the year so far measuring up against your victories and successes of 2023?
We are doing great. Our pipeline is very strong. We are about to break ground on rehabilitating a 69-unit development in Stamford, Connecticut. A few months after that, we'll be breaking ground on rehabilitating a 44-unit development in Bridgeport. We just received a purchase sale agreement for property in Bridgeport where we're going to build additional supportive housing within the city of Bridgeport. We have a purchase sale agreement on property in Stratford that we will be building workforce housing there. I also just entered into a partnership with another developer who's from out of state, and we're working together to build property, brand new construction in Plymouth, Connecticut. Mm. and then we'll, you know, manage it for them once it's built. So we have, there's so many opportunities. We're working very hard. I have an entire real estate development team where this is all they do all day long, is, you know, get these projects started, get the applications into the state of Connecticut. Because the biggest challenge is I can't just go to one place to get the funding. I have to build the capital stack. We rely very heavily on tax credit infusion, which helps keep debt service down on the property so that we can keep rent down. And that's what's so important about the tax credits. And so it's very complicated because, you know, you're dealing with the state of Connecticut. So you can imagine the application process is very long and hard. And it cost us about $350,000 to get an application to the state for them to begin reviewing it, because we have to get architectural plans in place. We have to do some environmental work. There's just many costs attached to it to get the application in place. But we're always talking to the state. We're always talking to them about our projects. So we know we have a green light before we put the application in, because we're not going to risk that money. We're going to make sure that the state's interested before we begin that investment.
So let's switch gears a little bit and talk about you,
Renee
Dobos, because you weren't just recently recognized by Congressman Jim Himes for your leadership and community impact. You were also, as we may have mentioned prior to it happening, you were recognized as one of the top 10 inspiring women leaders of 2024. Talk about your team and your colleagues across the state who are women leading great teams and, you know, serving your cohorts, because so many of the people who are seeking workforce housing are women heads of households who are carrying the whole burden.
Yes, they are. I think women are very hardworking, and they always have the family is the center of their universe. And many things that they do are for their family. I do have many colleagues that are women and have been doing this work for a very long time. I look up to them. I was very honored when Jim Himes sent that letter to me. I was very surprised by that. And I think it's because I'm very passionate about this, and I have a very loud voice. So whether you want to hear me or not, you're going to hear me. So it's important.
In terms of the Inspiring Women's Leaders Award for 2024, you also, aside from all that you're doing, you take the extra time to, if not mentor in the moment, and mm-hmm. Have an open door to your colleagues and cohorts on your team. But you're also, you and your team members are also mentoring the next generation of Connecticut housing advocates and leaders.
That's correct. Yes, we are. We're really working very hard to leave a legacy. I guess that's the way to put it. Mm. I won't be here forever. And so I have a very strong team built behind me that I am confident would be the successors if for whatever reason I leave this organization. And I'm very proud that we've been able to build that kind of team. And I know that colleagues that I work with, they are also proud to build that team. And I also get excited when I see someone that I've been working with at another organization who may have been at a director level, and then they move to another organization and now they're the CEO. And then, you know, then we get together and then we talk, and then, we can help shape that person to make sure that they're successful as well. Because we all know each other, right? In this industry, we all know each other and we all help each other.
Renee Dobos, she is the president and CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners, strengthening communities by providing housing and service to enhance the quality of life for all our families. Their developments and programs have produced more than $100 million in community investments, providing safe, secure, affordable housing and workforce housing to more than 1,000 residents. And as you heard, she just headed down to Washington and brought Connecticut back around $2 million from the NeighborWorks program, continuing their good work. If you'd like to learn more or partner with them, maybe you're an investor, you're a builder, you're a developer, maybe you'd like to be part of the solution, just get to know Connecticut Housing Partners at ConnecticutCTHousingPartners.org, I should say, CTHousingPartners.org. And Renee, yes. Thank you so much for your time this morning, and we'll talk to you again soon.